Whenever I saw that video, the church in Egypt has been established there. I think it was Mark or Luke started it, like after Christ died. And they have been up under tremendous persecution through the centuries. And I just thought it was amazing that their numbers have increased like they have. And kind of links to this, to what we're going to talk about today. This week, I just kept saying, I'm going to quit watching the news. Because this week is another week, so it was filled with tragedy and stupidity. A lot of both, unfortunately. North Carolina, I don't know if y'all saw this, there's a 10-year-old in the middle part of the state that his parents got a bad surprise when he got home. He was punished for calling a teacher ma'am. Nothing else, he was being respectful to her. And she took offense with that, and this child was punished for that. In Ireland, their version of Congress just passed a law. The Irish Church, the Catholic Church, has been interwoven with the education system in Ireland for centuries. And because of that, a lot of their kids attended church. They were baptized and can't have that. So the law has been called the baptism ban. Part of the reason for the law was that when you were a member of the Catholic Church, you got a priority as far as the school that was chosen. And so somebody not having a good day. and it's being called a victory because they're separating the Catholic and they're separating the church from the educational system. Chicago this past weekend, record number of shootings and deaths. That's a victory for gun control out there, and it works. You can't, anyone that actually needs a gun to defend themselves can't get one. I was ready to just throw my television out of the window. Then the Holy Spirit started coming in my soul. Remind me of news that CNN won't air. This week there were successful surgeries. There were people going back to work. There were ultrasounds of like of that little one. God works and prayer works. And I started thinking about prayer and I did some research. More than half the Americans in this one study, the Pew Research Center, say they pray every day. Some say 21% say they pray weekly. Some seldom or never pray at all. Women more likely to pray than men. And senior citizens more likely to pray than people under 30. And 45% of the Americans in here say that they rely on prayer to make decisions. Now, taking all that in, 63% of the Christians in U.S. say praying regularly is part of their Christian identity. Well, when you really look at these numbers, 1 in 4 Americans seldom or never pray. 4 out of 10 Christians don't depend on prayer to make their decisions. And 1/3 of all Christians don't think regular prayer is important to them being a Christian. And regular prayer is vital. You have to have it to being a Christian. It's kind of like if you're using your phone for directions, which I have to do a lot because I get lost easy. And then you get out of the signal, you lose your data, and it's just loading, loading, loading. That's a Christian without prayer. Jesus said that his Father's house was a house of prayer. And the importance of prayer is laid on my heart this week. Now, I started looking through Scripture and I found this. We're going to Acts 12, 1 through 19. Herod was king at this time. Herod Agrippa. He was grandson of Herod the Great, the one that was alive when Jesus was alive. He was a curious fellow. He was educated in Rome, but he aligned himself with the Jews in Jerusalem. He wanted to get their support. In order to do that, he knew a way to take care of a problem they both had, the early Christian church. James, brother of John, was one of the original 12 disciples, and he was killed by this group. probably on the orders or urging of the Pharisees. They wanted to stamp out this Christian church. Anyone that accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior was a target. The Pharisees, arrogant people who thought they knew how everyone else needed to live, were threatened by anyone who believed in Jesus. And unfortunately, it sounds kind of familiar. We still have some of that today. And when he saw the reaction to killing James, he had Peter arrested too. And now this was on the Feast of the Days of Unleavened Bread. This is during the Passover. So the Jews had really big specific laws. You couldn't kill anyone during that time. And they were waiting afterwards to execute him. And this was the man who denied Christ, but he was redeemed. He was to become the rock of the church, and he didn't do anything wrong. These people were just threatened by his belief in Jesus. And if most of us are honest, I think all of us have some non-Christian friends that the church isn't discussed. Your prayer life isn't discussed because there's that unspoken little bit of tension there. When they seized Peter, they had 40 men guarding him, four squads. And they were going to keep him until after Passover, and then they were going to execute him. But while this was going on, a small group of Christians were praying. They were praying hard. And this was more than good bread, good meat, good God, let's eat. This was fervent. This was focused prayer based on genuine faith in a living God. We may not know somebody that's in the clutches of the Romans or Jews, but I think we probably all know somebody that's in the clutches of an addiction, that's in the clutches of a mental illness, in the clutches of chronic pain, that this can apply to, that they are seized upon and their situation looks terrible. Same type of prayer that those huddled, afraid believers use for Peter is the same kind of prayer God still listens to. And can you imagine how those people were feeling? Their rock, their center was gone. And they just knew he was going to be killed. This was a loved one for them. And they were on their knees with this loss, so they started praying. And like Paul said, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And on the night when Herod was going to bring him forward to have him executed the next day, Peter was chained with one guard on each side of him and double the guards outside the door. They were intimidated by what they'd seen from this small group of believers. Peter's escape seemed impossible. But nothing's impossible for God. An angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cells. And then the angel told him, "We're getting on up, we're getting on out of here." And he thought it was a hallucination. He thought it was just a vision, something that wasn't really happening. Dead for sure to being delivered. God's answer to prayer can be either really subtle or it can be really, really quick. And deliverance from an addiction or an overwhelming condition, it can come from direct intervention or it can come from a servant of God helping. That servant may be a doctor, it may be a counselor. Some people don't think that human help qualifies as a blessing from God. But if you've ever been helped by a police officer, a paramedic in a time of emergency, doctors, nurses, God's probably guided them. If they make the right decisions, they've been guided by God. He works through them. Sometimes his blessing is to lead us to the people that he's going to work through. And a lot of us, if you notice the angel's still helping him, a lot of us, God delivers us But where do we go from there? I've gotten out of a situation, and I've gotten out of situations before that I've been brought through the storm, and then where do I go from here? God still helps us. Like this angel is helping Peter come through and guide him through this prison, because Peter wouldn't have known where to go or what to do. They went by the other guards, and they come to the iron gate that guards the city. These gates were siege gates. They were made to withstand an invading army. They were made to withstand battering rams. They were hoisted up by pulleys and levers and a lot of men. That's how heavy they were. And they opened by themselves. Think about the iron gates in our lives. Might be debt we think we'll never get out of. Might be that sin in our past that never seems to move. And we just can't get through it. It might be a secret that we've kept for a lot of years and we just can't get past it. What do? Without God, that gate wouldn't have moved for Peter. Without God, our iron gates, our spiritual gates won't move. Prayer helped those gates move from us and from others. And Scripture doesn't record it, but I'm sure Peter was doing some of this praying too. I would have been. And sometimes people trapped don't know Jesus or they've lost their way. In this last verse, the angel left Peter. And God does that. He'll work in our lives, but there are times he leaves us to make our own decisions. He'd gotten Peter through this storm. And when Peter came to himself, he acknowledged God. He acknowledged God working in his life. And part of our prayer should be gratitude for what God does do for us. There are times I feel like my prayers are more like an order. And I end up not giving the gratitude that I really need to give sometimes. Sometimes the purpose of prayer is to get us out of circumstances, but sometimes, more often than not, is to get us through a set of circumstances. That he won't pull us out of the storm, but he'll get us through it. And I'm not saying that you don't pray a deliverance prayer. But there are times we need to pray a prayer to get us through this set of circumstances. And we ask God to give us the grace to sustain and the strength to stand firm and the willpower to just keep on going. After Peter had acknowledged God, he went towards the house of Mary, the mother of John and James, and this was where the early church was centered at. And when he knocked at the door, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. The scripture doesn't identify who was praying for Peter. Peter may not have ever known all the people that were praying for him. Just like a lot of people on our prayer list, they don't know about us. They don't know all of us, maybe a few people. There are people we pray about, we never know all of them. Our military, our first responders. But our prayers, when prayed in a faithful way to a faithful God, still work in this world. They may never make the news unless some enlightened person wants to keep us from praying at graduation. Sad part is, before those enlightened people came along, we didn't need metal detectors, clear backpacks and purses, and trauma kits at our high school. That is the impact of prayer being removed from our schools. When this lady recognized Peter's voice, she got so excited. She didn't open up the door. She ran in and tell everybody about it, and they said she was basically crazy, that she was out of her mind, and that can't be Peter. And he continued knocking, and they let him in, and I've been to people in the house. God answers a prayer, and I'm just sitting there like, it can't be. It cannot be. Either a debt was forgiven or a test result came back in a wonderful way, and I didn't know what to do. I was just amazed that it had happened. And when I was separated, and I prayed for that special person in my life, when I met Lisa, I was almost in disbelief. And I couldn't believe that God put me with this amazing woman and her child. And I think it's just normal reaction. You know, God works in our lives. Sometimes it's like, boom. Because that was 3 days after I prayed for that, when Lisa and I first talked. And I normally have a lot to say. I did not have a lot to say. I was just, okay. And the complexity of God's ways that He answers our prayers are amazing. When you really get to thinking about it, what all is involved in Him answering a prayer, whether it's to help with a sickness, whether it is to help with a financial burden, all the things that have to happen in a human way to get that done. And He works a lot through people and through situations, and it just makes it that much more amazing. And you think about a time in your life when God answered prayer for you, how much had to happen, like from a human physical standpoint, for that to occur? And so they were just, this crowd was just standing around Peter, and they were just amazed that he was there because they knew he was dead. And they all started asking him why, and da 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 da. And then he settled them down. He told them what happened, and he said to report these things to James. James, the brother of Jesus. A New Testament praise report. God likes gratitude, and it's physically good for us to give gratitude. It decreases our stress. It decreases our blood pressure. And there's so much bad news that he could have told. His friend had been killed. He had been left for dead. But he wanted to focus not on the bad, but on what God had done. That little church needed to hear that God had worked in the lives of one of their individuals. And today, churches still need to hear that. And we need to show gratitude like Peter did. And he just kept, he said his piece. He went right on preaching and spreading the word of Jesus. And we need to do that. It's not a pastor thing. It's a Christian thing. It's things that we're all called to do. To spread the news of Jesus for anybody that's lost. And you look at what God did for that one person. And out there, how many people are locked in sin, addictions, illnesses? They need a worker of God like that angel. For God to work through to deliver them from their bondage. And it starts with a prayer. There have been many times I've had, you don't have to have fancy language. You don't have to do it in front of anybody. You and God have a faith in God and accept us as Jesus, as your Lord and Savior. Lord, I'm worried about this person. Use me. Work through me. Give me the words to say and the courage to say them. I know that prayer really well because I pray it a lot. Wherever I have to counsel a person or I'm urged, it's laid on my heart to speak to someone, I pray to give me the words to say and the courage to say them, because sometimes the words you have to say, they aren't pretty. And if one person just helped one other person in this world, how much better of a world would it be? Just one other person. And it's not that you have to have all the answers. You open and start that connection, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. It's in every person. And you can do things you can never imagine that you could do. Just pray and be willing to help. Salvation can occur anywhere. I've seen it occur in a hospital room, riverbank, dirt road, deer stand, coffee shop. God wants to use us. Now, after all this happened, these soldiers were not employees of the month. after they let 40 of them let a single guy get away with double guards chained to him. Herod searched for Peter. He couldn't find him. He had all the guards executed. And he went on his way. I include these verses to show how ruthless the enemies of God are and God's people, us. They are. They did and still do despise anything associated with God, especially prayer. Prayer is what keeps a Christian between the yellow lines. Lisa had pulled up something this morning from a conference we'd went to. Christians who don't pray start to stray. Pastor who doesn't pray, he just plays. And that's very true. If I'm not praying, how do I know what God wants me to do? And think of us like the cell phone GPSs. If we lose that signal from God, we're just loading in stock. And there are wolves at the door. There are groups in this country right now. If they could do it, they'd shut every church down in this country and ban prayer everywhere. Everywhere the Ten Commandments are at, they'd take them down. Freedom from religion, and they strike close. They had issued a complaint and tried to file a lawsuit against North Greenville University a few years ago. They're back in the news again because how dare North Greenville fix their auditorium up in a way that they want to reflect their religious founding and have high schools up there. How dare them. The people that are doing this have no idea by what they're being manipulated by. Paul said this is a supernatural battle. Every time Christ is taken down somewhere, God is taken down somewhere, what goes up in its place? Something in this world. When God's taken out of our schools, what was put up in his place? The world. That's what's being taught to our kids. And that makes it so much important that they see us praying. That they see us being the people we're supposed to be. Because they're not getting anywhere else. I remember Bible class when I was growing up. The felt board we have back in the classroom made me think about it. Ms. Watson would carry like a little handheld felt board in her little tote bag. And we'd do all this. And Robbie had Bible classes. And they're a memory. We have people that don't want us to pray in public, but other religions, they gladly let them do whatever. And it drives these people crazy, whether they're atheist or another religion or the ACLU, that God's still here, that he's answering prayer. And they try to explain the prayer away. That ultrasound, they would try and explain it was just coincidence. That lady who had these several miscarriages had a healthy baby. They would try and explain that away the technique helped a successful surgery. I've seen patients have outpatient surgery die. Prayer works, and it drives the enemies of God absolutely crazy. When you start to doubt that prayer works, remember Peter. Peter was 12 hours away from being executed. Peter was chained on both sides. Peter was blocked by an iron gate. Peter should have been dead. He wasn't. Prayers from one group. God helped an individual. God still wants to help people. There may be people right now in your lives. There are people in my life that they are in that situation. They are chained to an addiction. They are chained to an illness. They are chained to a bad group of friends, and they need prayer. And as we go to prayer, if there's someone in a spiritual prison in your life locked up like Peter, pray for them. Well, one thing I'm going to tell you, don't be surprised if God comes back and says, okay, I got a plan. What's your schedule looking like Thursday from 4 to 5? Because he will use you. I'm finding that out over the last several years, when you pray about something, don't be surprised if he says, okay, I created you, you're in your life, you think that's coincidence. And then it's on us to go from there. And if you feel that urging on your heart, God, I want to help, but I don't know what to say, and I don't know what to do, and I don't want to drive them away. Please help me. With prayer and faith, there's also humility. And it's okay to say we ain't got the answers. I've prayed for many of them. If I ever get to the point that I stop praying for answers and the right things to say, I don't need to be up here. And I hope someone would tell me. And if we're praying like that in churches, pastors, it's okay for anybody else to pray that I don't know what I need to do. Lord, please help me. I'm going to get everybody to stand, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and then song, and the altars will be open. And if you're feeling the urge to pray, please come up or pray in your chair. Just the main thing is praying. Heavenly Father, we see this example of the power of prayer. Father, we saw the example in that video of how you're protecting these Christians in Egypt. Father, we lift up. I feel like everybody in this room has someone in their mind right now that is in a spiritual prison, whether it's from addiction, debt, mental illness, bad group of friends, whatever it is, Father, you can break them from that prison. Father, maybe you have been knocking at these people's hearts and they're not answering. Father, open the doors to their hearts. Help give them that urging, that yearning where they have to come to you and they have to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, put that in their heart. Father, help them to see what is going on. Father, break this addiction and guide them to where they're supposed to be at. Father, help us to be your servants in this, that we will take the steps that we need to take to do your work. And Father, work through us. Give us the words, give us the actions, give us the courage to do what we're supposed to do. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.